You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Acts chapter number 12, and we're going to follow a man in the Bible. We're going to follow his path throughout Scripture. He's not mentioned much. But we're going to look at the references that refer to this young man and kind of get a lesson here, a message that I think will be a blessing. I'm going to preach a message entitled, Profitable for the Ministry. Profitable for the Ministry. Now, you'll get that later on, that reference there. But Acts chapter number 12, let's look at verse 12, okay? Acts 12, 12, the Bible says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house. This is when Peter was had been miraculously delivered out of prison. And he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So Peter gets out of prison, and miraculously the angel delivers him. Remember, they're praying for Peter's deliverance, and Peter's knocking on the door. And they're like, no, don't answer. Let's just continue praying that Peter would be delivered. And Peter's like... You know, and so Rhoda comes and answers the door, and they say, it's Peter. They're like, no, it isn't. We're praying for him to be delivered, you know. And so it's kind of a funny thing there. And but that, there's many Marys in the Bible, but this Mary was the mother of a man named John Mark. John Mark is a name you've probably heard before, as he's mentioned in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at that there. Now, John Mark, of course, son of Mary here, and just one of the many Marys of the Bible, but he was also related to Barnabas. Now, the Bible says that he was sister's son to Barnabas, and the Greek word there, now, that's a weird phrasing. If we say sister's son, we would probably mean that my sister's son, so my nephew. The Bible word seems to indicate it was more of a cousin, so a related that way. He was related in some way, either cousin or nephew, to Barnabas. And I want to pray, and I want to show you this man's, just kind of take you through his journey in Scripture, and hopefully give you some things you've never noticed before, but would be a help to you. Father, bless us now as we look at your word. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law tonight, and that we may get some applications. And Lord, as I'm preaching tonight, there's going to be so many different roads I could have gone down, and maybe some of those roads are what the people here need tonight. And maybe, Lord, you'll take them down that road, and you'll show them an application in their own hearts that I don't even mention. And I hope and pray that happens as well, but that you'd speak to us, help us not to lead the same way we came in, but to be changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, the partnership. Look, if you would, at chapter 12 here. I want you to see here this partnership that starts. So the partnership begins in chapter 12. Let's look at verse number 20. Chapter 12, verse 20. So here's this man named Herod, the king here, and a different Herod than the one at Christ's time. And it's amazing because he kind of lifts himself up in pride. In verse 23, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. I just love that passage because I have no idea what that looks like, but it's an amazing thing. He was eaten of worms as he stood there, giving God not the glory. And it's, can you imagine, like, worms? I don't even know how that even works, but that's what happened. But look at the next two words. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul, who in the next chapter would begin to be called Paul, returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So now John Mark, related to Barnabas, he joins the missionary team of Paul and Barnabas. And so they're bringing this young man on this journey, and they're kind of training the new guy, right? They're bringing someone along. And can you imagine Paul or Barnabas being your discipler? Can you imagine that? Paul, can you explain the Bible? Sure, I wrote 27, you know, or not 27 books, that's how many books are in the New Testament. I wrote 19 of the books or whatever in the New Testament. I can explain what I meant by that. I mean, can you imagine that? Like having Paul and being able to ask him questions, and Barnabas there. When I was growing up, I got to work in my home church. I'd go in and got to intern there a little bit. And I learned so much from my pastor, Pastor Coburnett, just by being around him. I watched him lead a lady to Christ at her door. I watched him do work. I watched him study. I watched how he, took the Bible out and got his notes out. And I learned so much from just being around him. And now here's John Mark, and he's around the greatest missionary to ever live. And he's being kind of discipled here in this thing. By the way, it's Discipleship Sunday. I hope if you've not been discipled, you'll sign up for it because it is so needed and so helpful in our life. Now, granted, going on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas is not the same as coming to the air-conditioned church and sitting down and letting us go through discipleship with you, right? That is not quite the same thing. When you're going out with Paul and Barnabas into different cities and, you know, you're being persecuted and people are trying to murder you and there's demonic opposition and oppression and all this stuff, it's a little bit different. So granted, they kind of threw him in the deep end a little bit, but that's what he was doing. Look at chapter 13, verse number 3. Chapter 13, verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, this is when Paul and Barnabas were separated in verse 1 by the Holy Spirit to begin that first missionary journey, which we talked about this morning. But who did they take with them on that first missionary journey? They laid hands on them, verse 3, sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, which was the major port city there of Cyprus, that the island of Cyprus, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. That's John Mark. John Mark went. Now look, Paul and Barnabas were the ones that were set apart to do the work, set apart, called to be the missionaries. John Mark was the friend, he was the travel companion, he was the one that helped make the arrangements and no doubt helped them with comfort in their journey and made some travel needs and made some arrangements in that way. He was a servant, and he was able to be part of this partnership. What a great privilege. What a great privilege to be able to kind of intern with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. So John Mark has this amazing partnership, and so far, so good. I want you to notice not only the partnership, but the problem. Look, if you would, continue reading here in chapter 13. Look down, if you would, at verse number 13. Acts 13, 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So they start with this partnership, but then they now have a problem. And can I just say, in a lot of partnerships, there can be problems. In the marriage partnership, sometimes problems can come. In a partnership at work, sometimes problems can come. This is one of the major reasons why God says, be not yoked together with unbelievers. Of course, we know that. Not to date unsaved, not to marry unsaved people, not to be in business in that way with unsaved people in that regard. There's a difference there. But now there's a problem. They had just come to this principal seaport city of Cyprus called Salamis. And apparently, if we didn't read verses 6 through 12, but in verses 6 through 12, what we don't see is a lot of fruit. But what we do see is demonic oppression. And can you imagine as a young man helping out Paul, helping out Barnabas, and now you're on the road, now you don't know where you're going to sleep, what's going to happen. Now you're seeing things that you have never seen. There's demonic oppression. You're hearing stuff. You're seeing stuff. It's hard. It was hard. It was difficult what he was going through. But you know what? He made a mistake. He, for whatever reason, and we don't know the exact reason, I think it was just the difficulty there, John Mark gets back on a boat and goes home to Jerusalem. He takes off. He calls it quits. Everybody, by the way, is tempted to quit at some point. Everybody is. Everybody makes mistakes. Everyone is tempted to say, I'm done with this. I'm walking away. How many times have you been tempted to quit your job? I am so through with this. You know, how many times are we tempted to quit our Sunday school class, to quit the ministry? There is a temptation there. And I don't want us to look at John Mark too roughly tonight because we're going to see some things as we go along here. I remember in Bible college, you know, there are so many people that came to college with the right desire. They came wanting to serve God, but it was difficult. And some of them quit. Some of them came back. Some of them didn't. And so there is a difficulty there. So when people quit, when the going gets tough and they decide to get going the other way, do we just cast them into outer darkness? Do we decide that we're just going to mock them for quitting and quitting on God or quitting on something? Do we swell up in pride because, yeah, it's hard for me too, but I didn't quit? No, that's not the right response at all. And so we see the partnership, we see the problem, but the problem gets bigger. Go to chapter 15. Chapter 15, Acts chapter 15. Notice the problem gets bigger. So Paul and Barnabas finish missionary journey number one. Couple years later now, they're going to go back out and go back to these churches and into some new territories. We talked a little bit about it this morning, and I mentioned that there was something between Paul and Barnabas, why they didn't go together. And Barnabas went back to Cyprus, and Paul and Silas went up through Macedonia into Philippi and all that, right? And so there was a split here. There was a good partnership. I mean, Barnabas was instrumental in getting Paul involved. He was the one that brought Paul to the disciples and say, hey, I vouch for this guy. But look what happens in Acts chapter 15. Where am I at? Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days later, this is after they came back and reported to all the churches, some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. But the contention, that means an intense argument, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Asunder, I mean, that's like, you know, when what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. That's a split. They departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. By the way, Cyprus was the place where John Mark quit the first time. And so Barnabas says, hey, I'm going on a missionary journey. John Mark, you're going with me. Where are we going? Cyprus. Right back to the difficult area. So Barnabas says, I want to bring John Mark with me. And if you want some understanding, we'll see later that they were related, but I think it was more than that. I think it was more than just that they were related. But Paul doesn't want them. There's this intense argument, and you see here that you have to realize, though, that Paul and Barnabas are two completely different types of people. And when somebody wants to quit on church, or they want to quit a ministry, they want to walk out on God, oftentimes in church, there's two different kind of responses. There's a Barnabas response, there's a Paul response. The word Barnabas, the name Barnabas means son of consolation. The word consolation is not a word we use often. It means encouragement. Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. Paul's name means strict. No, I'm just kidding, it doesn't. But here is Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas is, he was the one that brought Paul in and said, hey, I vouch for this guy, disciples. Let's accept him. So we know what kind of guy Barnabas was. And now he sees John Mark. And I know he quit. I know he walked out. I know that he left us hanging there when we were going off to the work. But I think there's something there. And so he wants to bring him. And Paul says, no, he quit. He's going to quit again. And you know, this is hard work. And maybe some people just aren't cut out for it. So one guy's like, this is how it is. So he cut and dry. He quit once. He'll do it again. And the other guy's like, I think we ought to give him another chance. The argument is so intense that great relationship is splintered. And now they're going their separate ways. Now, the only good that came from that is the fact that there's now two missionary teams going out. But you know what? This is the last we ever hear about Barnabas in the Bible. It's the last thing we hear about him. But it's not the last thing we hear about John. Now, we see here these two different reactions. So there's a partnership, but man, then there comes a problem. But I want you to see also the potential. The potential. Scripture, by the way, the Bible doesn't tell us who was right. But I think Paul was wrong. And I'm going to show you why later. Okay, you'll see it. But I don't think he was necessarily, it was an evil thing that he did. But I think there was some middle ground of grace there that a young Paul just did not quite have yet. And so we'll see a little bit of that. And I could be completely wrong. But Barnabas saw something in John Mark that Paul didn't. Barnabas had a better relationship with John Mark because he was blood. And so he knew him. And so he had probably a greater influence over Barnabas. And that goes to show me that you know, some of you in here, you have more influence in some people's lives than anybody else does. There's family members that you have, there's friends that you have, there's coworkers that you have, that you will have more influence over them than I ever could. Because they know you. They've watched you. They're your blood. They're your friends. They've seen the change in you. They've watched. And you have more influence over them. And I wonder, you know, are we giving up on people too soon? Or are we noticing potential? Are we giving up? I invite them to church one time and that's it. Maybe they were busy. Maybe they were busy. Maybe they had something come up. Maybe someone used to be in your class and they left and now you're like, oh, forget them. They quit once, they'll quit again. This is the Lord's work. Let's keep going forward. Maybe we ought to try to see some potential and say, hey, I know you've been out for a while. Let's get you back in. There's potential. There's potential. I'm glad somebody saw any amount of potential in me. I'm glad Pastor Smith came up to me in college. I still don't know why he did. But he said, hey, I want to talk to you about being the youth pastor at Gethsemane Baptist Church. And I was like, what? You know, shock. But I'm glad. Aren't you glad somebody in your life saw some potential in you? And here is a Barnabas saying, I see some potential in this young man. I'm not ready to kick him under the curb and give up on him yet. There was a partnership. Then there came this problem. But Barnabas sees the potential. But now I want you to see some proving. The proving. Go to Philemon. Philemon. Bible sword drill. Go. And if you're still not there by the end of the message, just pretend. I'm already there. Just pretend. All right? Philemon, chapter 3. Some of you are getting this way too late, folks. Philemon has one chapter, all right? All right. Philemon. Now, this was written. Philemon was written around the same time as Colossians. It was kind of in the middle or towards the end of Paul's writings. In about 3 or 4 years, Paul would write 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy would be Paul's last book. So this was probably 10, 12, 13, 15, somewhere in there. I didn't look it up. Years after what we had just read. It's a little while after what we had read earlier, but Philemon, Paul was writing, and notice what it says here. Notice the proving is what I'm going to call this. Look at Philemon chapter 1, verse 23. At the end of this letter that he's writing to a man saying, hey, forgive, get the picture here. Paul is writing to someone saying, I know this guy transgressed against you, but forgive him and bring him back. Kind of ironic, isn't it? Because Paul was the one like, no, John Mark walked out on you. No, he's saying, no, I led this guy to Christ, and he's going to come back to you, now forgive him. Now look what he says in verse 23. There, he's talking, and he says, there salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ, Marcus. Marcus. That's John Mark. Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So do you see what it says there? Paul, years later, says that Mark, John Mark, is my fellow laborer. Before he was like, no, let's not bring him with us, he's going to quit. And now Mark goes on this missionary journey with Barnabas. And now years later, he must have come back with some scars, with some stories. And Paul says, this is my fellow laborer. My fellow laborer. Looks like Paul went through some changes, and looks like Paul did some growing, and looks like there was a reunion there, and he says, this is my fellow laborer. Take your Bible, go back a couple books to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Now, Philemon and Colossians were written. We don't know which was written first. They're probably written the same year, but they're right around the same time these books were written. And so somewhere along the line, Paul and Mark, they crossed paths again. And now they're working together. There was a reunion. There was some things made up. And now this guy that Paul was like, nope, he's done. Now he has kind of proven himself, and Paul says, no, this is my fellow labor. In fact, look at Colossians chapter 4, verse number 10, and look what Paul says here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas. So that's where we get the relation there. Now look what it says. Touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. I love that. I love that. Get the picture of what's happening here. Paul is saying, okay, there was this breakup, and I'm sure people knew about it, right? Because when there's breakups, everybody knows, right? Whether it's teen department, whether it's on the news or whoever, you know. And so there's this dissension, there's this departure from one another. John Mark goes with Barnabas. He has his own little journey there, grows. Now Paul says, he's my fellow laborer. And he tells the people that he's writing the book to Colossians, he says, and also Timothy is going to be bringing, John Mark with him, and I've given you some commandments already. He's already talked about this. I want you to receive him. Why would he say that? I don't know. But maybe they had heard some stuff. Maybe they had heard that Paul and Barnabas had this big to-do over John Mark. Maybe they heard about John Mark departing and leaving, but Paul says, accept him. Bring him in. I mean, how much weight would that hold if the guy who at first was like, no, is now like, this is our fellow laborer? What's he saying? I was wrong. Bring this guy in. Bring this guy in. Why? Because John Mark had proven himself. And so I love that. Just seeing John Mark's, I don't want to use the word evolution because we use that the wrong way. His growth, that's a better word there. His growth through this timetable that we're looking. So we've seen this partnership and the problems thereof. And then somebody saw potential in him. And so then John Mark proves himself. But notice now, lastly, the prophet. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then I'm going to make two statements and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is at the close of Paul's life. He is getting ready to depart, he says. He knows that his time is short. He knows that, hey, he's about to be going home to heaven. This is his last letter. And notice what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 7. Verse 6 says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Talking to Timothy. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He is profitable for me. The title of the message is Profitable for the Ministry. There seems to be, at the end of Paul's life, a sweetness between Paul and John Mark. God started off kind of rocky, but there was some kind of sweetness there where Paul says, hey, Timothy, I want you to get John Mark, because, man, he's profitable. He's profitable. The guy that quit, you mean? He's profitable. The guy that walked out on you? He's a fellow laborer. He came back. And so somebody saw his potential, didn't give up on him. They went after him. They gave him another shot, and he proved himself, and now he gets the thumbs up from Paul. I want to make two statements this evening, and that's it, and I'm done. Number one, be patient with people. That word patient is not a cuss word, okay? Now, some of you think it is, all right? Be what with people, Pastor? Show me that in the Bible. I can. There's several places. Patience, okay? It's an important virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1, look up. There's patience there. Look, people make mistakes. People quit. People quit on things. People walk away from God. But I want to make sure, and we want to make sure, that even when people walk away from God, that the doors are open when they want to come back. And it's not like, look what the cat dragged in. Where have you been the past 2 years? You know, no, it's the prodigal. And we ought to be like the father waiting out on the porch saying, hey, come on back in. I prayed for you. I've missed you. Not like, you know, I'm pompous because I've been here the whole time. How dare you leave? That's the older brother attitude. That's the Luke 15 older brother attitude of the prodigal son. That's not Jesus' attitude. Man, he's whosoever will may come. He's looking for people to come back. And God is the God of the second chance. And the third. And the fourth. And for me, the 10 millionth. He's that kind of God. And so we ought to be patient with people. Hey, I want to encourage you, don't give up on people too soon. Pray for them. You got a family member that walked out on God. Okay, are you still praying for them? You got someone in your Sunday school class that they used to come and now they left. Can we keep working on them? And let's not give up on people too soon. Be patient with people. I'm glad that there were people in my life that knocked on my door and kept knocking on my door and literally my front door of my house, they kept knocking. I'm glad there have been people in my life that were persistent because they were patient knowing that God, any day, could just turn it around. Any day. Let's be forgiving. Let's be in the encouragement business. Let's be the son of consolation, the encouragers. Let's see the potential in others instead of the problems. Can you imagine if we always live like this? What would our kids think about us? If we're like, oh, you messed up, get out. No, that's not how it works, right? We have a cat. You know this. And you may like cats. I like our cat. But I don't like other cats. I think I should say I tolerate our cat. Anyway, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about the feline, okay? But I will tell you, like, what my first response was when that cat first came into our home, I was like, one time, cat, and you're done. You make one mistake. You claw one furniture, and you're out of here, you know? That's not the spirit we ought to have. I'm glad we don't have that with our, you know, kid, you made one mistake, you know, you're moving out. We have patience with them. Why? Because we love them. And there should be people in our lives that we care about and we have patience with. You know how many pastors and missionaries and staff members and solid, faithful Christians that I know, even in this room, that you were a problem to a lot of people and somebody didn't give up on you. Somebody was very patient. You know, we've got kids that, you know, came through our teen department. And, you know, you're in church. Can I tell you, I knew you when you were in school, and we had patience with you. You know, and that's not everybody, but I'm saying there are so many good Christians in church that easily somebody could have said, I'm done dealing with you. But there was patience. Aren't you glad about that? Let's be patient with people. And then secondly, let's be profitable in the ministry. Let's be profitable in the ministry. And what I mean is, maybe you've made some mistakes in life. I mean, who hasn't, right? Maybe you quit for a while. Maybe you're tempted to quit. Maybe you're watching online and you have quit and you haven't been in church in a long time. Maybe you feel like other people look down on you because of mistakes you've made. Family, friends, coworkers, church, I don't know. You know what you ought to do? You press on. You press on. You do what John Mark did. You get back up, you get on the horse, and you prove it. You prove it's the real deal. In 2 Corinthians, when it talks about wanting to reconcile and wanting to get right with God and all of that, it talks about wanting to clear yourself and to prove yourself. To say, look, I made a mistake, but I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep going. Now, I want to make this clear. There are some mistakes that can be made that disqualify you from certain aspects of ministry, but not from church and not from serving God in some capacity. All you can do, though, whatever people think about you, all you can do is get up and press on for Jesus Christ. So be patient with people when other people fall, and when you fall, what do? Do you just stay down? No, you get back up and you press on. You get back on your feet, you dust yourself off, and by the grace of God, if you're lucky, you'll have somebody in church that's a Barnabas to you and come along and say, hey, let me help you out. You'll hopefully have somebody like that. I wonder tonight, what have you quit that you need to start again? Have you quit soul winning and need to start again? Have you quit Bible and need to start again? Have you quit prayer and need to start again? Have you quit Sunday school or Sunday night or Wednesday night and need to start again? Let's get back to being profitable. Let's get profitable in God's work again. And I just want to say this, by the way, In case you did not know, John Mark was profitable. In fact, John Mark wrote a book of the Bible. The book of Mark was written by this John Mark that we're talking about. And he wrote that before Paul wrote 2 Timothy, but of course, after all that had happened. And Paul says, this is my fellow laborer. And now here's John Mark writing the book of Mark that we have in the Gospels today. I'm glad somebody went after John Mark. What would we have the book of Mark? No, we wouldn't. I'm glad somebody said, I see some potential there. I'm going to try to help him along. I wonder tonight, who needs you to reach out to them? Maybe you've noticed in your area of church, because we are creatures of habit and we like to sit in the same areas. Have you noticed somebody around you that hasn't been in a while? Have you noticed some so-and-so has been absent in your Sunday school class? And they used to sit next to you, or they used to sit behind you or whatever. Have you noticed some people that need your influence? Maybe they need a Barnabas to put their arm around them and say, hey, I'm here for you. I believe in you. I think God could use you. I think you could be profitable to God. Let's get back involved. I've got all these problems. I made these mistakes. God can help that. He's not going to help you outside of church. Let's get you back in. And then if you've made some mistakes, or even if you're just tempted to quit something, let's get profitable. Let's press on for Jesus Christ.